not weak.
Then prove it.
If Voldemort's building up an army, then I want to fight.
For the 2 million or so entering college freshmen this year, many who were born in 1990 and are about 18 years old, Harry Potter would be a classmate playing on their Quidditch team. That's just one of the many cultural references on this year's Mindset List, issued annually by Beloit College, to remind faculty and others of the different mindset of the class of 2012, and to help faculty and students and the older and younger generations better understand each other. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Wednesday, August the 20th. And we will welcome your questions for our guest from Beloit College about the Mindset List. And I'll bet you have examples of botched communication between yourself and a young person because, for example, the young person grew up in very different times than you. And, for example, rarely used a landline telephone and communicates constantly via cell phone, texting, and Facebook. The media and the culture they grew up with causes confusion when you refer to things like party lines or typewriters or Captain Kangaroo. Please join in our discussion as we talk with Tom McBride, a professor of English and former head of the First Year Studies Program and co-editor of the Mindset List for Beloit College. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how did this get started, this annual Mindset List?
Well, about 11 or 12 years ago, there were various lists circulating in cyberspace that were rather cranky lists. They sort of dumped on entering college students in terms of what they didn't know, what they hadn't read, the classical references from great books that they weren't aware of. And Ron Neef, who is our public affairs director at Beloit, very brilliant man, came up with the idea of a different sort of list about entering college students. Instead of dumping on them for all the things they didn't know, why not, in fact, try to become a little bit more sociological about it, maybe a little bit more anthropological about it, and try to capture their sort of cultural attitudes with certain items of information that, in their minds, had always been true, even though, in fact, of course, they haven't always been true. So the idea really is to sort of give a sense of their mindset rather than, in fact, you know, simply dumping on them because of their ignorance.
Yeah, and this is helpful for faculty or those who are older than these 18-year-olds entering college.
Yeah, as I said on the Today Show some years ago, when we first started doing this list, I said that professors sometimes can suffer from hardening of the references, which is sort of the professional counterpart to hardening of the arteries, I guess. And they needed to, you know, recognize that their old Watergate references needed now to be annotated. They couldn't just trot them out there. So it is indeed a reminder that, as we like to say in my biz, the kids are getting younger every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you mean by the references to Watergate need to be annotated?
Well, I just meant that, you know, for example, when I used to teach Shakespeare, but I still teach Shakespeare, but back in the days when I taught Shakespeare in the 1970s and 1980s, I could teach Richard III, and I could make references to Watergate, for example, as a sort of tragedy wrought by various forms of skullduggery, and they would all know what I meant, and Shakespeare would seem terribly fresh and relevant. But I can't do that anymore. What I can do is to talk about Watergate, but I'm going to have to sort of walk them through it a lot more. Yeah. And that's just, you know, one example. Another very quick example I'll give you is that, and this gives you a sense of how even the co-author of the Mindset List can suffer from hardening of the references. I made a reference to Pulp Fiction a couple of years ago, thinking that they would all know about Pulp Fiction because I consider it an extremely vital, really sensational work of art. But in fact, of course, Pulp Fiction came out in the 90s. This was kind of an old movie to them. And
doesn't it make you feel old?
It does. It makes you feel old and out of it. And one of the most common responses that we get to this list is from people all over the world who say things like, boy, do I feel old, boy, do I feel out of it, or I can't believe that 18 years have passed so very quickly.
Yeah. So, for example, I played the Harry Potter clip, and that's one of the items on the mindset list this year, that Harry Potter could be a classmate of the entering freshman class. How could that be helpful for faculty or anybody, for that matter, who's in the older generation?
It's just a way of reminding our faculty and faculty members, all of the United States, that the people that will be gathering in front of them in their first-year classes are people with a certain point of view, and it's a limited point of view, and it's not as though, you know, professors have to suddenly become hip or cool. I mean, there's no possibility of that. But it is, I think, a way of essentially sort of, I guess, in some ways rallying the troops. You know, this is what we're in this business for. We're in this business because, in some ways, you know, we do have students who necessarily have a very, very limited horizon. And the idea is that 4 years later, they're going to have a much broader horizon. They're not just going to be able to think better and write better and speak better, but they're going to have depth and curiosity and perspective and that sort of thing. So, you know, this is in many ways a sort of, you know, back-to-school list.
We welcome your questions about the mindset list. Maybe you also have some examples of different cultural references that you might have compared to the entering class of college freshmen, the class of 2012. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tom McBride is our guest. He's a professor of English and co-editor of the Mindset List for Beloit College. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, featuring Kevin Eubanks and the Tonight Show Band.
I'm Joy Cardine, not Jay Leno, but Jay Leno is on the annual mindset list that is issued each year before the college school year begins from Beloit College. This is about the 11th year that Beloit College has issued its annual mindset list to share with faculty and others as a reminder of the changing time frame of reference for the new generation. For the entering class of 2012, Jay Leno has always been the Tonight Show host. Just one of the many differences between the freshman class and the rest of us. Our guest is Tom McBride. He's a professor of English. He is the co-editor of the Mindset List for Beloit College. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And still looking for your examples of maybe botched communication between yourself and a young person because maybe you refer to, Johnny Carson instead of Jay Leno. I could imagine that happening. Tom McBride, a faculty member who grew up with 30 years of Johnny Carson, making that sort of reference.
Well, I even go back to Jack Parr and Steve Allen on that show. So.
Talk about hardening of the references. Yeah, and it is a different, it really was a different era that these kids grew up with. I'm just learning now, I mean, for example, I, for the first time this week, poked somebody on Facebook. Have you ever heard
yes,
of
it? Yes, right.
I mean, it could be because, and that's what these kids, that's how they communicate, Facebook.
They really do. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was last fall, my first year students brought to my attention rather disapprovingly, the information that I was not on Facebook, and they insisted that I get on Facebook, and they brought a camera to class the next day and took my photograph, and they set me right up, and so now I actually feel valid for the first time.
Well, you can ask to be my friend. I'm starting.
That's right.
starting to learn how to do that.
I can write on your wall.
That's right.
Yeah. That's
someone sent me a bumper sticker too.
Today. Sure, mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. And you know, one of the points that Ron Neef, the co-author of the list, and our public affairs director at Beloit has been making is that the best way to find a student now at Beloit and other places on campus is to actually go to Facebook because they no longer use their residence hall phones. They all have cell phones. So the residence hall phones just sit there and they're not used. But of course, there's no way that we can know their cell phone numbers. I mean, they're from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as their email addresses are concerned, some of them are so in love with their pre-college email addresses, sambang, 1234 at gmail.com mm-hmm. or whatever, that they will sometimes not even be available on their college email addresses. So.
Right, yeah. I know some students even who work at Wisconsin Public Radio, email is not their thing. It's texting and Facebook.
And that's correct. And mm-hmm. texting is very, very big. But if you go on Facebook, you have a chance to communicate with them because you can, in fact, always just, you can write on their wall or you can send them a message.
Yeah, in fact, Ron Neef points out in the news release for the Mindset List that while when I went to college, I didn't know who in the world I was going to be set up with as a roommate. Now, these roommates, maybe they didn't meet each other in person, but they probably met each other on Facebook, so they know each other.
That's right. Mm. You know, at Beloit, we have this rather extensive and intensive first-year orientation program, New Student Days, and we have students to help us in our individual seminars during your student days. They're called orientation leaders, and my orientation leader, Andy Schmidt, had already made friends with two-thirds of the students in my seminar,
mm-hmm.
even though, of course, he'd never actually met them face-to-face. But it was really sort of neat because he knew them by virtue of their photographs, and he was able to go up to them and say, "Hi, Sarah, I'm Andy."
Yeah.
And there you go.
Another piece of new technology that I don't have yet, probably will get sometime, has always been available for this entering class. The GPS satellite navigation systems have
Absolutely.
Always been around for this for this generation.
Yeah, and I think that GPS is still comparatively rare now in cars, although it's now installed on iPhones and BlackBerries as well. But my guess would be that in 10 years it will be really standard equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we've also learned as we've been working with this, and that is that one of the huge differences between the older generation and this generation is that I still think that, for us, the whole email thing, the whole thing of sitting in front of a keyboard and a monitor and communicating with somebody in Norway is still a little bit like, the Oracle at Delphi. I mean, to me, it's still just this wonderful,
yeah.
wonderful,
mm-hmm.
amazing system. It's quite routine to them. It's something they've grown up with. It's become totally totally familiarized for them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, I think GPS is pretty well the same thing. They're also absolutely marvelously adept at this stuff. I mean, my daughter is 20, and she can text probably 8 messages to my 1. I'm very slow when it
right.
comes to texting.
Yeah. Let's take some calls. Heather in Iowa City. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was a nanny. Well, I get to think about it. If I told you 12 years, it's actually been longer, so that shows what happens to age.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a nanny for this family and their little daughter, and I took her to a auction in the city, and she kept pointing, and she asked me, she said, "What is this?" I said, "What?" And I kept looking at the box, the pile of stuff, and she kept saying, "What is this?" And finally I said, "What, the typewriter? Yeah, what is it? What does it do?"
What is the typewriter? Yeah.
I thought at that moment, I'm like, oh, dear, what's going to happen when we get older? So this mindless interesting. I want to look it up tonight when I get home.
The mindset list.
Mindset list. Okay.
Yeah, and you can find it on our website at Beloit.edu or just Google, you know, Beloit College Mindset List.
Yeah.
Just Google Mindset List. But we have had students who literally could not recognize the function of or even know what a portable record player was. We have one unverified story from a friend of ours in Maine that her granddaughter, was confronted with an old dial telephone in Maine and did not know what to do with it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We had an employee here at Wisconsin Public Radio who recently moved on, but he had the only rotary phone left at Wisconsin Public Radio on his desk. I think he even tried to take it with him. I'm not sure. And he insisted on keeping a typewriter.
Okay, very good. Well, good for him.
But, yeah, the typewriter, when I started in this, you know, news business, that's what we used to type
sure.
our scripts, and it was odd to have that just go away, as a lot of technology in broadcasting has gone away.
Anybody who keeps a rotary phone nowadays qualifies for having a deep sense of history.
He is, in fact, he was the historian of Wisconsin Public
Radio. There you go.
Heather, thanks very much for that example. Yeah, you don't see. In fact, I bet you typewriter repair businesses aren't around anymore.
No, I don't think that's a burgeoning field.
Yeah. Mike in Black Earth, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is such a rich topic for me because my father was editor-in-chief of one of the major publishing companies, and he wrote several books, and I just remember him sitting up in the attic with his typewriter taking years to write these books.
Mm-hmm.
And he even left one unfinished, which was a breeze for me to finish on my computer. But what I initially called about was I have younger relatives, nieces and nephews and people like that, and my own four kids are homeschooled, and they're starting to send me emails, which I was pretty proud that I'm up to speed on email, you know, and all of a sudden they're sending emails which are really like text messages.
Mm-hmm.
They're so full of abbreviations, I have to go get the 12-year-old every once in a while and say, okay, what does this really say? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know what LOL is. And it's
right.
And he goes, well, that's laugh out loud. And I was like, well, how would I know that, you know? And so I had to go look for a dictionary of texting, which, you know, the whole science of texting, and they're so fast at it, and they're trying to get me to do it. And my lousy little cell phone has, you know, 3 letters per button. So, you know, I'm thinking there's no way this is fast. And yet they're fast at it.
Oh, boy, are they ever with the, they're just flying.
And they abbreviate and they just use like one letter to mean a word, you know. So I think this is going to revolutionize just how even email messages go across.
Yeah, what does BRB mean?
You know, that one I don't know. My daughter hasn't sprung that one on me yet, but I know K, just the letter K, means yes or okay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And you know, I did know LOL.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, T-O is the number 2, and U is you.
And BRB is be right back, be right back after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Wednesday, August the 20th. We are talking about the Mindset List, which is issued every year from Beloit College. Our guest is Tom McBride, a professor of English and the co-editor of the Mindset List, which is put together to remind faculty and those in the older generation that the entering class of 2012 has a different mindset than the rest of us. Their cultural differences are much different. Their frame of reference, much different. We've talked about a number of items on this list already this hour, including because these students, many of them born in 1990, many of them around 18 years old, Harry Potter could be a classmate. They have always been looking for Carmen Sandiego. The GPS satellite navigation systems have always been available. The Tonight Show has always been hosted by Jay Leno. We'll talk more about these cultural landmarks references this hour and welcome maybe your own examples. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm laughing at Tom McBride at Ron Neef, your co-editor of this list, said that he once mentioned Watergate, as you did, saying Watergate used to be a common reference, but a few years ago he asked some students if they knew what Watergate was, and they said it was where Monica Lewinsky lived.
That's right. and I think it was last year about this time I was on What Do You Know with Michael Feldman, and I believe that when Watergate came up, I think he also said, doesn't that have something to do with Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting a lot of attention for this list. You were, yesterday we wanted to have you on, but you were doing one of the national morning TV shows.
Yeah, we actually were in New York yesterday. We did three of the four major networks. We did ABC, CBS, and Fox. We missed NBC, but we've had NBC in the past.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a list that really hits a nerve all over the, not just in the country, but in this country, but also around the world. In fact, there is a New Zealand mindset list, which is was inspired by our particular mindset list.
Yeah. The other ones that kind of made me feel old. This entering class, this college freshman class, has never gone to a full-service gas station. They don't know what it's like for a gas station attendant to check under the hood or fix flat tires. That just doesn't happen.
Just doesn't happen. That's exactly right. And it's if they do go to many, you know, gas stations today, it's very unlikely that anybody's going to come out to pump their gas, but they might be able to get a cappuccino inside.
Right. Yeah, that's right. The gas stations are a place to get a cappuccino. What other items from this list were most enlightening to you?
Well, you know, every year after Ron and I compile the list and decide what our top 60 is going to be, we start to go through and we start to look for common themes. And this year we saw two or three common themes, and one of them was the extent to which a sort of multicultural universe, along with a certain political correctness, has just been part of this generation's climate all through their schooling. Women have always been wearing headscarves in order to make cultural statements at school. Schools have always been concerned about multiculturalism. There have always been gay. There have always been gay rabbis and so forth. A second one is the extent to which they are really into the world of transparency. They're not bothered by transparency. This is the world of Facebook. It's the world of caller ID. And many scholars who are sort of predicting how this generation is going to do in the workplace think that this is one of the things about them that is going to make them actually pretty good in the global workplace, because it's such a digitally fingerprinted, digitally footprinted place. But this is a generation that's used to transparency. They don't seem to mind the sort of lack of privacy that goes along with it. And then finally, we found three items this year that really kind of went together, which involved the sort of equalization of luxury items or democratization of luxury items. Martha Stewart Living has always been setting the style. Haagen-Dazs ice creams always come in quarts. And Club Med resorts have always been places to take the entire family. So those are some of the trends that we've noticed from the list. I guess my personal favorite is that the Warsaw Pact means about as much to them as the League of Nations did to their parents. And I think they fear more from OPEC than from the Warsaw Pact, which, of course, they don't even know the meaning of. They've always known until recently, a very cuddly Russian bear. That, of course, has changed dramatically in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's right. So they might might have a different frame of reference when classes start.
Yeah. I think they do, but, you know, in talking with them about situation in Georgia. One of the things I've noticed is that, you know, I think for many of us in the older generation who went through the Cold War, when the Russians invaded Georgia, a sort of chill went up and down our spines. You know, oh, mm-hmm. no, not this again. You know, not fallout shelters again, et cetera. But, that's not the way they look at it. I think they, see it as a much more localized kind of thing. They don't think that it necessarily portends a return to the bad old days.
Yeah. Back to the phones. And we do have an open line for you if you want to ask about the different mindsets of the older generation and the younger generation as illuminated by the annual mindset list from Beloit College. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And again, maybe you have an example of some botched communication because you made a reference to something in your background or something that you grew up with that young people today don't know what in the heck you were talking about. Our next caller is Linda in Wilton. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. This is a wonderful show. I have experience with actually older women was speaking in a factory about, well, Paul Newman, for instance. This woman was 40 years old and didn't know who that was, and she said, oh, that's the guy on spaghetti sauce. Oh. I went, oh, no.
She didn't see Cool Hand Luke or...
None. Nothing. So I've been extremely blessed. I had a brother who just passed away, but he would have been 62 years old. I'm 45. And he exposed me to Betty Davis, to all of these people, to these different movies, to different books, to all different things. Now, granted, now I do not follow, like, for instance, Harry Potter, et cetera, but that's by my choice. That's not because I don't know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me that there is a pocket of people a little bit older, between 40 and 60-something, that really have missed a big chunk of, in my opinion, what's good about society.
Mm-hmm.
All of these different things that...
Yeah.
You know, it just seems a little bit odd that...
Yeah, it's interesting, and I guess, I don't know, maybe age doesn't matter all that much, Tom McBride?
It's been a fascinating call for a couple of reasons. First of all, a few years ago, we actually had Paul Newman on our list. We said that Paul Newman has always been the guy on the salad dressing.
Yeah, that's funny.
Which is funny, but mm-hmm. of course, you know, as our caller suggests, it's a sort of involves a kind of lamentable
mm-hmm.
lack of knowledge about, you know, one of our great artists. But the other fascinating point, let me go back to the first fascinating point, and that is that this... Sort of lamentable lack of knowledge is extended into somebody who's in the age of 40. And that is really, you know, pretty startling, I think. But secondly, I noticed the caller indicated that there was a 17-year age gap between her older brother and herself. And it just occurs to me for the first time that, you know, perhaps that's indeed a real advantage of having a much older sibling. Is that in some ways they become sort of a nurturer of the younger sibling with respect to an older part of the culture. I'm sort of wondering now about my own daughter. There's a 10-year gap between my son and my daughter, and she is very, very culturally adept. And I'm thinking, you know, well, maybe, my older child, my son, had something to do with that. I have to think about that.
I bet. I had much older siblings, too, and they kept me in tune to what was going on there.
Yeah, that's really, really quite interesting. That's,
and, you know, kids today don't... kids today don't always have that. There's, you know, sometimes there's one or two children close in age, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah. Our guest, Tom McBride, professor of English, co-editor of the Mindset List for Beloit College. A new generation of students about to begin its first year of college, and every year Beloit College issues this mindset list, which profiles some of the cultural and historical references that are important in understanding the class of 2012. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. To more of your calls in just a moment, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Excuse me, I think you forgot my bread.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you.
No soup for you, the soup Nazi from the Seinfeld television series. That is something that the entering class of 2012, the college freshmen entering college this fall, have always been exposed to Seinfeld and that show about nothing. That was probably one of the better episodes, wasn't it, Tom McBride? So let's go to Mark in New Berlin. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just think it's funny with what happened yesterday in Milwaukee. I was on a plane last week, and a group of high school students came on, and you usually say hi to the person sitting next to you. Where are you from? And one of them actually knew Milwaukee was in Wisconsin, which was kind of a cool thing. But I just made a comment about Happy Days, and I got nothing but blank stares.
There we go. Isn't that something? Now, when was that? That was in the 70s that show was big?
That's right. In fact, yesterday at CBS, all the monitors were featuring the Bronze Bonds. And we were backstage with somewhat older people who are, of course, also in the business. And they knew all about Winkler and so forth. But yes, I'm not surprised that this generation would have blank stares.
Yeah, the Fonzie. They didn't know the Fonzie.
Yeah. That's exactly right. We've occasionally gotten from various members of whatever generation we were featuring rather irate emails, or for that matter, even face to face sort of expressions of irritations. That I do too know who Lucille Ball was, and we did a little investigating and found out that, of course, they had become TV Land or Nick at Night addicts.
Right. I was going to say that there are so many reruns of these shows
that I would bet
they would be exposed to.
But, of course, that's only one of, hundreds now of cable channels. And so many of them never watch TV Land. They never watch Nick at Night. The ones that do become somewhat irate with you and say, well, we certainly do know all about that.
Yeah. Mark, thank you very much for that example. I have to go see the Bronze Fonz one of these days. Vicky,
yeah, quite impressive.
Vicky and Oshkosh, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for this program. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, I do too.
I have, going back to Facebook, I have two children going to college now, and I just got on Facebook so that I could communicate with them.
And how's it going for you, Vicky?
Oh, my gosh, they're friends. Facebook is very new to me. Their friends are asking me to be their friend.
Well, good.
I'm trying to, okay, why is so-and-so wanting me to be their friend?
Yeah.
So I need to understand more. I want to grow with this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to fly right by me.
Well, that's an important point, too, Tom McBride. There's this list of references, cultural references that you share with faculty kind of lets you know the mindset of this freshman class, but we could use a list of lessons of what some of the newer generation is doing to better understand them, too.
That's right, mm-hmm. And I guess some of that, sort of comes out in the commentary that mm-hmm. and the interviews and so forth, but one of the things that Ron and I are working on now is a website, and we thought that perhaps indeed we might provide a sort of tongue-in-cheek advice column on the website.
Yeah, thank you very much, Vicki. And good luck on Facebook. I know I'm struggling learning it too, but
and I'm looking forward to that advice column to come out. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are talking with Tom McBride. He is co-editor of the Mindset List for Beloit College. Still a few more minutes to talk about these many cultural and historical references that kids today are very familiar with, that maybe the older generation not so much. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Coming up after 7 o'clock, Wisconsin's 8th congressional district candidates, the incumbent Democratic U.S. Representative Steve Kagan and the challenger, it's a rematch again, former Assembly Speaker John Gard, have both unveiled their first ads of the political season this week. We'll take a listen to those ads and we'll talk about the 8th congressional race and the issues that are heating up coming up after 7 o'clock. David in Fort Atkinson is with us now. Hi, David.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
I was recently at a Starbucks, and I was talking with one of the baristas there, and she was about 20 years younger than me. I'm 44. And Paul McCartney had released his last CD, Memory Almost Full, and Starbucks was marketing it. And I had a Paul McCartney card. And so she and I were chatting as they were making my coffee. And she said, you know, I just found out that Paul McCartney was part of a group before he had wings.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just kind of, I must have done a double take or something. And I said, yeah, he was part of the Beatles. And she said, yeah, he and a couple other guys had a band for a while. A couple other guys? It was like a total disconnect to anything, you know, pre-1980, I guess.
Right, but you don't know about Bright Eyes, David.
No, I'm sorry, I don't. I must be out of it.
No. You know, I had the same experience. I was backstage on the Today program some years ago with Dawn Wells, who used to play Marianne on Gilligan's Island. And she was actually on the show as a self-styled expert on island psychology, because the next day CBS was going to reveal the one person who had not been kicked off the island on one of their reality TV shows.
Okay.
And she was telling me that she has a nephew who said to her, Aunt Dawn, did you know that Paul McCartney used to play in a big band?
Oh, same thing. Yeah.
And, you know, I think that those of us, you know, like David and myself and others, just, you know, I think it's just mind-boggling for us, because the Beatles were, in fact, more than a cultural touchstone. They really were the cultural climate.
That's right.
At one time. And to think that they would, in fact, be at least semi-forgotten is really quite astounding.
Yeah, it really is. David, thank you very much for that example. You know, another example you brought up there is that kids today have probably always had baristas and specialty coffee shops, which is something that we're, you know, we certainly didn't.
That's exactly right. In fact, a few years ago we had an item that said it takes longer now to make a cup of coffee than it takes to make a milkshake.
That's right. Jack in Harvard, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I recently had my nephew come over for his annual trip out to the country, and he got his T-shirt kind of icky, so we washed it out by hand. I says, put it on the clothesline, and I gave him a clothespin. He says, what's that?
Oh, my gosh.
I says, it's a clothespin. I says, you clip it on a clothesline. So I says, here, I'll show you. And I was thinking, well, this is kind of strange. You know, I mean, he's a bright kid, you know. So he held it in his hand, but he didn't know how to clip it onto the clothesline.
Wait, they know all the high-tech stuff, but not the low-tech stuff, huh?
Well, and this gets better. So we clipped it on, and he says, oh, yeah. He says, that works neat. So how does it work? I says, well, the air and the sun dries it, you know. He goes, wow, is that cool, you know? And then I says to my wife, I says, I can't believe this, you know? And my wife reminded me that he's always lived in the suburbs and the subdivision, and he probably never was exposed to a clothespin before. But
yeah.
I gave him a bunch of clothespins, and he took them home, and he just wants to start this revolution now, because this is really a green thing to do.
There
you know?
Oh, Back to the Future,
so
yeah.
Sometimes something can go out of fashion, but because it is a useful product, it's relevant to our day and age where we're trying to save on, you know.
Great example, Jack.
I might mention that my wife and I were in Italy a few years ago, and the clothespin and the clothesline have not gone out of fashion in Italy, where you have a much more restricted economy and people simply, and of course a fairly good climate for that sort of thing compared to Wisconsin. People, you see clothes out on the line all the time.
Yeah, and in fact, this generation is a green generation.
It is green.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah,
very green.
Boy, I don't know if we have time for another one. I want to, very quickly, Mary in Malone emails, last year my daughter and son, both in their 20s, and I adopted a rescue dog who is a total mutt. We joke that his breed is a Heinz, as in Heinz 57 varieties.
Sure.
Earlier this summer, a 20-something delivery person asked, what kind of a dog is he? And I answered, he's a Heinz, and he answered, I've never heard of that breed before. He's beautiful. So, there we go. Boy, that we have lots of other examples from our callers, but not enough time, unfortunately. Tom McBride, thank you very much for being with us.
It's been a great pleasure.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next year, maybe.
That would be wonderful.
Tom,
look forward to that.
And people can get this mindset list on your website?
They can, www.beloit.edu. And when you get to the website, you'll find a section there on the desktop that says Only at Beloit. And if you click on that,
okay. The
first one that comes up is the mindset list.
Thank you so much for being with us. Tom McBride from Beloit College. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.